Q.
Q.
I got something here. I want to see if you know what this is.
A Q.
A Q. That's right.
Yeah, I like that.
Hello and welcome from deep inside Jolly Roger Studio. This is the Q Filmcast, and whether it's online or at 107.1 WRFNLP in Nashville, thanks as always for tuning in. Once again, I am Michael, along with James Hard Sub Savage.
What's up, Maestro?
What do you think I'm doing?
Doing your thing.
I'm doing my thing, man. Some things never change, nor should they. And there is Max to the Max Johnson, Max Gumbo Johnson, Max Tarmac Johnson.
I thought it was George Washington.
Which is it? Yeah, I thought y'all settled on one.
I'm giving you options.
Gumbo Washington.
Gumbo.
We're going to put up another poll. We're going to get this settled once and for all.
Listener poll. New York.
Listener poll. Listener poll for Max's nickname.
Yeah, look for that. And the patron saint of quality outerwear.
Hello.
Matthew St. Hoodie on a very cold day. How are you? You are the man today.
Yep.
Yeah, see, I love that. He knows. He knows his place.
I know where I am.
Yeah, absolutely. Good to have you along. Greatest producer in the history of the Q Filmcast. As always, wouldn't want it any other way. That is Adam the Bomb Rogers.
Hello.
So what do? Here we are, the Q Filmcast. If you don't know, if you stumbled upon us by chance, this is the show where we pull selected films from Netflix Instant. We watch them. We come in here, Jolly Rogers Studio. We tell you what we thought.
Yep.
We sit down, we talk about it, pass it around, and that's what we do. Generally with pretty good flavor, though, right?
Generally.
Can I get it generally?
Generally.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay. Amen.
I say law.
I say law. Give it up for Mr. Randy Watson. Anytime I can say that, I will. If you want to keep up with us, here's how you do it. Obviously, Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, all that stuff. We're there, Q Filmcast. I suggest you go to the QFilmcast.net.
Yeah.
There it is, our website. You can go in there. You can leave messages for Matt. You can leave messages for anybody. You give us some feedback. Let us know what we're doing. All of our shows are posted there, too, right on the main page. So if you want to listen to us, qfilmcast.net. Go there. All right, guys, let's get into it. This is episode 27.
27.
And this is the film from Netflix Instant. It's there. You can watch it. 2013, the Black British Comedy, or however you want to say that.
The British black comedy.
Is that the way you say it? I'm sorry. I want to make sure I get this right. That's the way it's described. I don't know.
Yeah.
British dark black comedy. Okay. The dark comedy. Thank you very much. Yeah. Slash travelogue. It is.
There were journals involved.
It kind of is.
Calm down, Adam. That worked in his favor. I'll tell you when.
It kind of is.
All right. This is the 2013 film, Sightseers. Yeah, we're going to get into this film here, Sightseers. And this is selected by The Bomb. Hit a bomb dropped on us. Adam the Bomb Rogers, this is your pick. Let's get into this, and we'll ask you in a minute why you picked this film. Actually, let's ask you now. Why'd you pick this film?
I saw on a lot of top 10 horror lists, and I was kind of intrigued by it. Then I watched the trailer, and then I saw the words, executive producer Edgar Wright.
Ooh.
Sold. I'm in. I have to see it. So
I don't know who that is.
Producer doing some name dropping. Name dropping.
Edgar Wright, Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz.
All right. I'm with you.
All those. Okay.
All those. I got you.
Yeah, all those movies.
He wrote The Raven, Pit and the Pendulum. Oh, sorry. No, that's good,
He's old.
Yeah.
Spaced.
Yeah, good selection, though, man, because I'd actually heard this thing bounce around a little bit, and I couldn't find the person. Someone on Twitter a ways back had suggested this film, so, man, this is meant to be. Here we are.
All
right. This has been talked about a bit by several people, so,
Sightseers.
And this is directed by Ben Wheatley. I don't know. I hadn't really seen any of his work before, but I've heard his name. Max, you heard of Ben
Wheatley? Wouldn't I get the guy on Star Trek Next Generation?
I think it was.
That's Will.
That's Will Wheatley. Will Wheatley.
No, I've heard the guy's name. He's actually got a new movie coming out. But yeah, I've heard the guy's name, but I don't really know much about him.
On some other podcasts I've listened to, they've talked about this guy's work. So,
Kill List is like one of his biggest ones.
Yeah, Kill List, yeah.
And he did ABCs of Death, You is Unearthed.
That's right. I was going to get into that in a second. Yeah, but wait, thanks for bringing that up. Yeah, he did one of those. Basically, he's known for Down Terrace as well, Kill List, and Sightseer. Those are his three top films. So, yeah, I mean, the guy's been
made three
about.
Movies.
Yeah, made three movies, been talked about. This film also stars Alice Lowe and Steve Oram. I'd never seen them do anything before.
Yes, nope. You have.
I have. That's right. Hot Fuzz.
And The World's End.
I did not see that film. Sorry, I was busy that night.
When the world was ending, you were busy that night.
So, just to reiterate here, it stars Alice Lowe and Steve Oram, known for It's All Gone, Pete Tong. Nothing.
Nothing. Let's move on. Right. I don't know who any of these people are.
Well, you do, because they were both in The World's End.
Yeah, well, so they were 100 other
very
people
minor
in the
parts,
too.
Because I don't even remember them.
Really.
Okay, but moving along.
Didn't Alice Lowe actually write
What did he play,
this
Man
thing?
With Sandwich on Elevator 3?
Number 2.
He was the cop.
I know. Know who he was. It doesn't matter.
It's called a joke.
You want to move along? You want to get off of this?
Yeah, get off of it. Nobody cares who these people are.
Well, they actually did write the film, too. That's kind of impressive. So
good for them.
There you go. Whatever. All right, shut up. When I say shut up, I'm telling myself to shut up, okay? Let's get into the ratings on this thing. Okay. IMDb gave it a rating of 6.5. How you feel about that, guys?
Yep.
Yeah.
Sounds fair.
Is that sounds about right. Sounds reading? Right.
Sounds perfectly in place. Okay.
Right.
Rotten Tomatoes. Critics gave it, it's up there, 85 on Critics, Rotten Tomatoes.
A little high.
Users, 65.
About right.
Okay. Let's talk about what this film is.
All right.
Here's what you have. Let me give you a brief rundown, brief synopsis here.
Yay.
All right. Chris wants to show Tina his world, and he wants to do it his way, which is on a journey through the British Isles in his beloved Abbey Oxford caravan, or we can call it an RV, can't we?
Sure thing.
Okay. No, it's English. It's a caravan.
My bad.
Tina's led a sheltered life, and there are things that Chris needs her to see. The Critch Tramway Museum, the Ribblehead Viaduct, the Kenswick Pencil Museum. Big pencils there. And the rolling countryside that separates these wonders in his life. But it doesn't take long for the dream to fade. Litterbugs, noisy teenagers, and pre-booked RV sites. Caravan sites. Not to mention Tina's meddling mother. I wonder what that would feel like. Soon conspire to shatter Chris's dreams and send him and anyone who rubs him the wrong way over a very jagged edge. So if the RV's rocking, don't come knocking, guys. Here it is. Here's a trailer from the 2013 film Sightseers.
Show me your world, Chris.
Well, I thought we'd start with Critch Tram Museum.
Great. Dear Mum, Yorkshire is lovely, not like you said at all. They can smile, and they do sell my pasta sauce. The caravan bed is quite short, but Chris is a sensitive lover. Hope you can be happy for me. Love, Tina. Yeah, good girl.
You are going to pick that up.
I didn't do that.
If you don't pick up this excrement immediately, then I'm going to have to inform the National Trust.
Report that to the National Trust, mate.
I don't want this to ruin our holiday.
Get in.
Never thought about murdering innocent people before.
It's not a person, Tina, he's a Daily Mail reader. Say one word and it's...
I get it, it's just thinking outside the box.
The police are pursuing a ginger-faced man and an angry woman.
You're a liability. You're just like your mother.
Has it gone wrong?
Yeah, a bit.
You didn't let him see you do number twos, did you, Tina?
Okay, guys, so there you are. The 2013 film from director Ben Wheatley, Sightseers.
Sears.
I like saying that word, man.
Sears.
It's all
right.
Fun.
It is fun, all right. And this film actually inspired our top three, because if you don't know, we review this film and we let it kind of inspire a top three. Adam, you're going to reveal to us what the top three of Sightseers is?
Road Trips Gone Wrong.
Road Trips Gone Wrong.
Yeah.
Most of them go pretty right, but I think there's a few that go wrong.
I don't know. If you had one that went right, it wouldn't be very interesting.
It would not be a good movie.
Yeah, I mean, how often do you look back and go, remember that really non-eventful, no energy,
awesome
no excitement?
Road trip.
Remember that movie where that family went on vacation and nothing happened?
Yeah.
More interesting would be like road trips that went according to plan.
That's like, you want to see my home videos? They're
now
all
that
like
would
that.
Be a tough one to come up
that's
with.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's a good top three. Okay, so we're going to get into that later after we tear this film apart and peel it back and talk about it. So we're going to get into our top three road trips that went wrong. Is that, did I say that? Say it right? Okay. Perfect.
Or just a road trip.
No, gone they wrong. Have to go wrong.
All road trips go wrong is my point.
Right.
Yeah, you
right.
kind of have a point. Yeah, yeah. It would
but
be
some go worse than others.
It would be actually harder to find road trips that went right in films.
I literally we
just,
we
said,
just
that.
Said that.
All right, we're going to move along. This is the part we get into a This is the part where we get into, did you know, some facts about this film. I didn't find any.
There's nothing to know.
I actually
Let's
went into all the trivia. Yeah, okay. Currency, before
actually,
we get into
it was
film.
Inspired by a film called With Nell and I.
Okay, let's keep going.
Okay. Actually, that's you've brought this up, Hoodie. You actually like that film, With Nell and I.
I have never seen it, and I want to watch it. I want to talk about it because I've heard really good things about
Same
it.
Same thing with me. The currency for this film, because you know what it is. Come on, we talk about this all the time. We don't do stars.
Money's no good here.
No thumbs up, thumbs down.
God, that's beautiful. Yeah, your money's no good here. We let the film tell us what we're going to rate it. We don't do stars. We don't do thumbs up. We may give it the finger, but we don't give it thumbs up. Adam, what is the currency for this film here?
How many times would you say mom?
Mom?
Really? Is that what we're going to go with?
Yeah. How many mums?
How many mums? Mom? Okay. It doesn't matter. That works. Okay. That's the currency of the day. Yeah. Mums. Right. And if you watch that.
No, I get it. It works.
All right. Or you could go rockin' caravans. We're going to go mums.
We could go.
Watch the film. It's funny. It'll make sense. All right. So let's get into ratings. Let's talk about it. Let's go around the table. And we always start with the guy who queued up the film. Hardy Har, Q.
Right.
Adam, the Bomb Rogers. The first bomb to be dropped is your rating. Give me your assessment of Sightseers, the 2013 film.
I watched this movie twice. The first time, I wasn't in a good state of mind, and get to that here in a minute.
Okay.
So I watched it. I wasn't a big fan of it, so I wasn't really thinking it was going to be that good of a movie, but I was in a bad mood. So really, you need to watch this movie when you're in a good mood.
Okay.
I understand.
So the second time I watched it, I understood it. It was this dark comedy with horror and drama and all that stuff. I thought it was well acted, written. I love the supporting cast, even though they weren't on the screen very long.
No, they weren't.
It was entertaining. It was a good story, and it was bloody. So, I mean, I loved it.
That's
I think
what
it was
you need.
Give it an eight.
I'm with you on that.
Eight mums.
What we're going to do is go counterclockwise because I sense some heat. I sense some heat coming from across the table here.
What? Why?
I say law.
Did I give a Chloe look?
Yeah, you gave a Chloe look. You're giving like that duck look that face.
I just like looking like Chloe.
That's just how Max takes 24. Selfies.
That's right. That's what I do. I'm going to put one up.
All right, well, put up your rating here. How many mums? We have eight mums from the producer. What are you going to give this film?
Six mums.
Okay, somewhere. You didn't hate the film.
Didn't hate it.
It wasn't a disaster.
But I'll be honest, after I watched it, I read up a couple of things and saw it was classified as a comedy / drama. And as a black comedy, I was like, I didn't take it that way. Not at all.
Yeah.
Okay.
There were some funny elements, but overall, it did not come across as a black comedy to me.
Really?
No, okay. It didn't.
You lost me. I was with you on comedy, black comedy, and Mike Parways. There's some comical undertones. Shut up, Michael.
Okay, go ahead.
Matt St. Hoodie, the patron saint of quality outerwear. 2013 Sightseers. How many mums are you going to roll this way?
Completely with Max on all regard. It's a six.
Thank you.
I agree with the comedy. It was funny, but only here and there, not enough to be classified as a comedy.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you guys. It wasn't like, oh, wow, this is a funny film. Hard Sub Savage. Round it out, buddy. What are you going to give this film? 2013 Sightseers.
I got to give it a seven. I was really enchanted with this thing. It's the British quirk. I picked up on the comedic element pretty quickly. I really like this film. It's quirky, but not quirky for quirky's sake. There was conflict. I really liked it. Seven.
Okay. Do you feel like me, like the British element worked for this one?
I think so. I think just I don't know what's the word for it. I mean, nationalistic or I don't know what it is, but I think it's funny to hear them talk and walk the way they. And whatever that is, me being American,
it's not funny as in that regard.
Funny in that regard.
Yeah. Okay.
And they say the caravan, and they're eating like beans for breakfast.
In a couple years, this is going to be done by an American director, and I think Arizona.
It won't work. Yes. It won't work.
That is my point. I think this works better set in this scene with these people, with these accents, with these elements.
I agree.
And this structure for their culture. I think it's
better. It's the Cockney thing. If it was a high British, accent, it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
It's the Cockney thing that makes it funny.
Like when she says dog, she says dog.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. All right, well, good. You're going to give it seven mums. We have eight mums. We have six mums.
I may go up
mums.
To an eight. I mean, I could be talked up to an eight. So.
All right, let me round this sucker out then. Let me tell you what I'm going to give the 2013 British dark comedy, whatever you want to call it, from Ben.
Dog.
Just don't call it a black British comedy.
Yeah, it wasn't a black dude in the movie.
I have no apologies if you want to edit that out. Okay, I don't know what happened there. I'm going to go ahead and give it a right in the middle seven. I'm going to give it a seven here.
Okay? Yeah.
I'm going to give it a seven. It had some Cheerio elements to it that I kind of enjoyed.
Jolly good,
that's right. I actually watched it twice. I went from 6 to 7 as I watched it. I picked up a little bit more the second time, but we'll get into that in a minute.
That's a 34, by the way.
It's not so bad. Yeah, I give it a 7.
For Adam pick, that's pretty decent.
Adam's highest. Yeah. That's probably the highest one you've had.
I'll toss it a 7, and we'll get into why.
Literally a 50 in Adam terms.
That's like almost a 60.
That's Adam Citizen Kane. Yeah. Hey, but before we get into the film, why don't we take a second, listen to a clip from the film, Sightseers. Not sure what it's going to be. We'll surprise you. Here's a little piece of the film right here.
Excuse me. You are going to pick that up. Well, I haven't. Chris?
This is a site of natural beauty and geographical interest. I think you need to sort that out.
I didn't do that.
You need to pick it up.
I can't.
Why can't you?
Well, I haven't got the proper things to do.
Why didn't you bring the proper things with you if you're out with your dog?
Well, I did bring the proper things, but I'm not having a very good day. Chris.
Good morning.
Please tell me I'm going to pick that up with my fingers.
No, you can't do much about that, mate. You can pick it up and you take it away with you.
Well, I would have the bags, but they're in the bloody car that you've left drunk outside some pub that we can't... We don't even know where the pub is.
I know where the car is.
No, you don't.
I do. I know where it is.
We are lost, Chris.
I know where it is.
Lost.
I know it. Look, I'm sorry, but if you don't pick up this excrement immediately, then I'm going to have to inform the National Trust. Actually, do you know what? I don't think you are sorry, mate.
I don't think you're sorry either.
Did he touch you? What?
No. Wasn't concentrating.
Have a think. Can you remember everything?
Yes, he did touch me.
Oh, this is preposterous. What else did he do? Details.
There you go. From the 2013 film, Sightseers, directed by Ben Wheatley. All right, so let's get into this film, guys. Let's talk about that, and let's get it around, bannered about. Let's start with Adam. Discussion. You gave it an 8. You're on the high end of the totem pole, buddy. Rightfully so. It's your film. You picked this film.
Yeah.
Tell us why you gave it an 8. What stood out about this one?
The character development, for the most part, I thought this was a great character piece, namely with 3 characters, even though one's minor. The first one being Mama. Mama, I hated Mother when she first came on the scene. It's right when the opening credits started and you hear that, I was like, is that part of the song or what?
That's what I thought it was, part of the song.
Yeah.
And then
my dog actually got up and started walking around.
Hey, stop there. I tell you what, Lisa came down from downstairs. She goes, what's wrong with the cat? She, honest to God, man, that's exactly what she said. I said, it's an Adam film. She goes, that explains it.
Okay.
She actually got me more involved in the movie than most of the other characters, believe it or not. I mean, she...
All 2 scenes?
Well, she had a little bit more than that.
Come 3 maybe?
Yeah, she was a minor character, but she kind of added a bunch to it for me.
She was a hook. She was a hook. Yeah, she got you.
While watching this, the first thing I did was I started cussing the screen.
Yeah,
I was like, when she's like, murderer, and it was an accident. So are you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There was some brutal.
I mean, you heard of Sigmund Freud at all.
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of things like that.
Okay.
Okay. What is she talking about murder? I hope they get back into that later. And they did. But yeah.
Right.
Yeah. There were a lot of hooks set, a lot of little traps in the beginning of this film. Yeah.
Even the song, Tainted Love. Huh?
And it really was Tainted Love at that point. Right. After this intro, it was very well placed, that song. Yeah.
And, which leads to Tina, and I think I see her as this, her whole thing being her journey, you know, escaping Mom.
Yeah.
Getting away and kind of goes into her own little trip of madness, you know.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
But I don't think something was right with her in the first place.
Which way? Are you talking about Tina?
You reckon.
Tina, I think it was because of her mom. I mean, she's been stuck in his house. She was obsessed with a dog. You saw all those training plaques and stuff like that all over the walls and things like that. And she was lonely in life, and she only had the dog and her knitting.
Yeah.
And
she was really good at knitting.
She was good at knitting.
Lingerie.
She was a knitting
fool. They were crotchless panties. So.
Yep. Yeah.
That's some skill.
Made out of yarn, though. That's not what you really want those made out of, yarn.
I don't really care what they're made out of.
It depends on how cold it is.
She's warm.
I don't know what you've been told. Yeah.
She was wanting to fall in love with this guy. You know, he probably paid her some attention and everything. And
And what was his name in the film? I already
Chris.
Forgot. Chris, that's right. Chris.
Yeah, probably the only guy
Chris,
that ever paid her attention.
I call him Ginger.
Ginger beard. Ginger faced man is what they call
Ginger faced man.
Isn't that what they call you? Ginger faced man? Matthew's
I've been called worse.
Matthew St. Hoodie is kind of Scottish, I would say. He's kind of a Scottish.
I do. I got a lot of Scotch in me.
Yeah.
And German. And English.
Scotch in
I got a lot of Scotch in me, too. Yeah, and some bourbon and some beer.
I love Scotch. Scotchy, Scotch, Scotch. Here it goes down. Not into my belly.
Producer, roll with it, man. Okay. Where were you?
You know, after she sees what he does and she wants to be with him in this world, you know, you see that starting with that camera scene where she sees all these pictures and realizes he stole it from the Ian guy.
Yeah.
Revelation is a hard thing sometimes. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And she gets more and more involved, you know, being confronted by the doggy do guy. That
the best scene in the film. Okay, let's just get that out of the way. And,
is that how he was credited? Doggy do guy?
Doggy do guy.
And then when they get all involved with it, and her turn around and telling this, you know, Chris what this guy, quote unquote, did to her, it doesn't actually happen. And I think, you know, when she starts enjoying it after the initial shock of watching Chris go on this murderous rampage.
Yeah, yeah.
And she gets more involved. And then as she gets more involved, he gets less involved with her. paying more attention to everything, mm-hmm. and she starts getting just extremely frustrated and starts going nuts. And
yeah, so, I mean, you're talking about all these scenes. Right. You're kind of describing the movie.
Yeah.
Now, all of this worked for you. I mean, you're basically into a lot of plot setup. You're saying that these characters, the journey they went on really kind of, you bought this thing. I mean, they get out. They had a reason to get out because of the crazy mother. They had a reason to go on the journey because of the craziness that, although we never really get in his backstory. But damn it, this girl needed a road trip.
No.
She needed a road trip. And that worked for me too,
she
Adam.
She needed to get out.
She needed to get out. And, you know, that to me really was a great part of this film. You had reasons to believe before the credits even came up, before the word sightseers came on the screen. It's like, get me out of town. You know? So, yeah, right. I'm with you, man. That completely worked. We'll talk some more about these scenes in a second. We'll get into those because there's a bunch of them I kind of want to get into, especially after you brought up the dog poop scene. We could probably do a hidden
Pick
episode.
That up.
We could probably do a whole hidden episode on that alone. I'm going right into Max
Gumbo
Johns.
Gumbo.
Gumbo Washington.
Gumbo Washington.
Until the listener poll has spoken, you're Gumbo.
All right. Go jet lag. What do you got?
Okay, like I said before, this thing was billed as a comedy, which I didn't know until after I watched it. This thing did not come across as funny very, very much to me. While I was watching it, I sort of started thinking, okay, I see what they're trying to go for here.
Yeah.
They're trying to do some sort of a God Bless America, some sort of falling down.
God Bless America sort of thing came up in my mind, yeah.
Falling down, I didn't pick that up.
Oh, yeah,
at all.
Falling down, Michael definitely.
Douglas. Ooh, dude, the I'm going to part ways with you on falling down. I don't see this anywhere.
Okay,
the same.
In falling down, he didn't kill anybody.
Well, it's a different
flavor, man. A little more intense.
Yeah, but the overall flavor of the whole movie,
I see what you're saying.
It came across that way to me. Like, this is a guy, they're trying to make some sort of social commentary with this movie. I thought that's sort of the thing they were going for, and it didn't work as well as it did in either Falling Down or God Bless America, or even if you want to really stretch it, Kick-Ass. You sort of wanted to see this guy as this hero that was like standing up. It's like when he saw that guy littering on the bus.
No, I didn't pick that up at all. I didn't think he was made out to be a hero in any way.
Yeah, this jerk, this guy's littering on this bus, and he totally told him something, and the guy flipped him off.
In a way, you wanted to root for the guy.
Yeah, you wanted to root for him. Yeah, you wanted to root for him, but they didn't make the offenses bad enough for me to go, yeah, okay, this guy, I'm rooting for this guy. Yeah. That guy deserved it. Maybe not in real life, but, you know, in a fantasy world, yeah, that's what I would have wanted to do, too.
Yeah.
Okay, one thing about the litter, I did want to bring this up.
Yeah.
He was eating a Cornita ice cream sandwich.
Yeah, Cornito.
That's part of the Cornita trilogy. Right? Yeah. You're right.
How shocking. That was it. A Cornito was part of the Cornito trilogy.
Wow, what a shock. No, I'm saying that it was in this film.
Hey, look,
I wonder if it was an homage or something.
We were light on the trivia. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
Why did you bring this up when we were doing trivia?
It took him a minute. I didn't get it either, man.
I noticed it too. I did notice that. But anyway, it didn't succeed where I wasn't really rooting for this guy to do the stuff he was doing.
Right.
I got why he was doing it, but there wasn't enough motivation on his part from what these people were doing. I was like, these are pretty minor offenses. These are not doing terrible, awful. It's not like some guy texting in a movie theater. I went
too
there.
Soon.
I did that. No, not too soon. It was going to happen. It was coming about.
Right.
And then when she started going over the edge and doing this, and he started saying, well, what are you doing that for? She was doing it for people that didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And I completely lost any empathy or any sort of...
Yeah.
You didn't root for these people at all.
Hey, you gave it a 6, though. Talk about what kind of boosted it a little
bit. I gave
it
a 6 because it was well made. It did have some clever moments. Mm-hmm. And I give it a little bit of a... I'll bump it up just a little bit over a 5 for trying to be a little bit more relevant. And I think this is one of the rare cases where I will give James a thumbs up for saying that our American sensibilities may have trouble grasping some of the stuff that went on in this movie because it's a very English movie.
Yes.
Yeah. No doubt.
And I can't understand Cockney at all.
Yeah, and some of the dialogue was hard to understand. Yeah. I almost put the subtitles on.
You know what I kind of wondered to myself? At one point, I actually stopped and I said, okay, would this be as funny if the same people that are represented in this film are watching this film as it is to me in these parts? Because, for example, when she says the word dog, I mean, to me, that is funny, but if it was someone just saying, hey, that's my dog, that scene is a non-existent scene to me.
Well, I mean, let's say they set that in America and set it out in the Southwest with a bunch of trailer trash or something.
Yeah.
Right. You know, depending on the way they speak in certain parts of the country, it would still be funny.
Yeah.
You could set this anywhere and have these offenses be anything, but I think...
Well, it's like My Cousin Vinny.
I think in the context of this film, some of the offenses, maybe what he was doing on that train, littering, which I abhor littering. I don't do it at all. But maybe this guy littering there was way that might be like some dude taking a leak on the wall at the Alamo. The guy could have done something a little worse than that to deserve being backed over by a caravan.
Let me drop in here real quick. Now you kind of mentioned you've separated him from the pack, and I kind of did that too. I thought his character was somewhat of the weak link here, in a way. I completely back you up on that.
Yeah.
He didn't give me a real reason to either hate him or really root for him. I wish they would have...
Talking about Chris, the main protagonist.
Yeah. His performance set against hers looked really weak to me. But as far as those performances go in those two characters, did you feel the same thing? I mean, what about her? Did you find her appealing? I did.
I separated her and him because when she realized what he was doing, and she really confronted him about it, said, you know, did you kill that guy? And he said, yeah.
Yeah.
That was like her moment of freedom. That was her epiphany.
Which one are you talking about? When?
No, the camera.
When she...
No, because he denied it at first. He's like, that's not
me. Yeah, but she had evidence.
Yeah, but she eventually... So what are you going to do?
Yeah, she said the line, you can't do things like that. It'll ruin the holiday.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. But
that's when she was involved, you know, once she said that.
Hey, Hoodie, tell me why. You gave this a 7, right? Let me go to
I gave it a 6.
6, I'm sorry, 6.
Pay attention.
Sorry. Two things I don't do, numbers and names, man.
Right.
Numbers and names, my sorry.
You gave it a 12.
You gave it a 6.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know.
Six moms. And by the way, we're talking about the 2013 film Sightseers.
There's so many different ways to approach this. I have so many things to talk about that I didn't know I was going to talk about. Number one is that she kept mementos from, it seems like, every kill.
Yes.
Yeah. Even the first guy that got ran over.
A little fuzzy, was
she? She picked up the fuzzy thing, put it on the dash, and you can go to the girls in the bar. She had the veil. Everything. She had a memento. She was absolutely messed up from the get-go. I was kind of looking at this and trying to find it in the movie. Wasn't too far off, to be honest, that she actually was kind of like to be a serial killer.
She was waiting for somebody to listen to her free to do
so
this.
So what I was trying to do is like prove to me that her whole intention wasn't to take him to this very last aqueduct and push him off or make him think that they're dying together.
That wasn't her intention.
I'll get to that. I'll talk about that later. But yeah, I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, I mean.
I'm totally with you on that
one. It makes perfect. And you look at the drawing, you even have the sun and the moon. That's Alpha Omega.
I love how Hoodie always kind of gets those things that no one else would possibly know.
I just
picked up on that too.
Did you really?
I saw the same thing. I was like, oh,
I was happy that I was happy that I noticed that she grabbed the fuzzy wuzzy. That's fine
with that. Was a weasel. You have also, they're going to a lot of natural places.
Yeah.
And they're talking about murder and they're justifying it and saying the murder is natural. And when he killed the Dookie dude, is that what we were calling him? I don't feel like it was.
He's got to have a name.
He's the Dookie dude.
Yeah.
He was like, you know, back in the day when this place was flourishing, if this guy came up on you, I couldn't do anything.
Lord Duke.
Right. So she was like, oh, so you were just defending my honor, you know, and it went through this every time that they would kill somebody, they had some, you know, way of saying that it's justified. This is okay to do.
Yeah.
It's natural. Murder is natural. Going to all these caves.
Murder's green.
That's right. Right. I love that part, too. Well, you know, we're really actually doing everybody a favor because, I mean, the ozone's going to
destroy. The carbon footprint.
Carbon footprint. Yep. Look at the good stuff we're doing. I whack these people. All right, so there you go.
Anything else, man?
Anything else, man?
I got some stuff.
Yeah, we're getting some scenes. I mean, I want to talk about the Dookie scene and everything else. Hard Sub Savage, you gave this a 7, and you say you might be a creeper on this going up to an 8.
No, I really liked it. For one, I was surprised. The Adam pick is like, I really like this film. It was quirky.
It's like a joyous moment, you know.
It's a couple really points is. Just
it's
for
like,
that.
I'm not dissatisfied
because with an Adam film, you put it off as long as possible.
You really do. You really do. It's the quirky little story of two sociopaths. You know, it really is that.
And it's so cute.
it really is. It really becomes very, very cute. And when she used the word musing, I'm musing you. Mm-hmm. Musing is a verb in that sense. I mean, you can use the word muse as a verb, but I've never heard that word musing as a verb. And I'm like,
that was hilarious.
I love that. I love this. I'm musing you. I'm musing you. I really dug it, you know, and I think for me, the Cockney British thing added to the humor. I got the humor from the start.
Yeah.
I mean, it was funny from the opening scene with the pictures of the dog and the sound of the dog. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got that it was a comedy then. I mean, from the opening scene. And then the 12 or 13 mums. Mum, 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 mum. I mean, that's like the first line, right? It's like mum, mum, and like 13 mums. If you don't understand that this is a comedy from that point, then I don't know. I don't know what more do they need to give you?
More than that.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not totally a comedy. You can't say that this is only a comedy. You can't say this is only a dark comedy. Honestly, if I would put this on a shelf, I'd say it was a drama.
I would say a
no.
drama.
No.
Yeah, I would say drama.
Dark comedy.
No. I would go more... It's there was slight dark comedy. I'm with you a little bit. I don't know if I go straight drama, though.
No, it's not. No, it's certainly not a drama.
I'm not going to put this up next to Terms of Endearment, for Christ's sake.
I mean, do you see those pants that she wore?
That's a comedy. That's
sorry. Okay, yeah. I mean, there are absolutely dark elements.
The giant
elements,
pencil,
funny
like,
elements.
I wanted to tell you how I feel with the
all right,
giant
so,
pencil.
So all that stuff, you can go straight indie. I mean, you can just say that's indie.
Okay, yeah. And maybe this is the British version of indie dark comedy.
And if they had, like, an Explosions in the Sky soundtrack, like on Prince Avalanche or something, that would have, like, pushed it straight into the dark comedy thing. But it didn't.
It was well shot. I mean, they did a lot of, like, great locale stuff.
Yeah.
I like the constant cold. They're wrapped in parkas, and they constantly had to be cold.
Well, when you're wearing crotchless panties, you're going to be cold.
Well,
they were
no,
knit.
Those,
but they were yarn.
Were yeah,
that's right.
No, they were warm. And I love the Carapod. And I'm just here to say if there was a Carapod for sale, I would buy a Carapod.
Oh, I would too. It made me want one.
Yeah.
You'd have to subscribe to the whole way of life, which means selling your house and
No, I don't. I disagree with that. But it's a fun movie. I mean, it's I read a good quote. It's like if you like sour candy, you'll like this movie.
Hey, where's
and
this
that's the best way to describe this. This is like sour candy. It's kind of sweet, but it's kind of sour too.
Yeah, which I think a dark comedy's kind of got that element to it.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that kind of the backbone of a dark comedy?
Or the definition? Say? Yeah,
definition.
This is a good. It's a good dark comedy.
All right, let me tell you what I thought about this thing. The good and the bad. I'm like you, man. I expected really not that many great things from this film. I'm on board with the producer. I thought this had a great hook in the beginning. I thought this came in with a burn. I mean, I wanted to get out of town with this girl. I hated this woman.
Right.
I hated the mother.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no reason for me to believe that this person was not on the edge and hauling ass out of town, okay? And the guy that she's with, you know, it didn't matter who she was with. She just needed somebody to get her out of here.
She was lonely.
She was lonely, and it really came through. And the minute the tainted love, the track came up with the word sightseers right there, and the mother standing there with her hands on her hips, you know, still just giving the stink eye to this girl as she pulled out of her driveway, I thought this could be good. That's what I liked about it. I was invested in the concept right away. I agree with Max, though, that some of the characters just didn't give me a reason to really go one way or another one, especially him. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, there was no backstory for Chris.
Yeah,
I like that, though. That added to the mystique of it.
Other than the offhand comment, I was 6 months since I made redundant.
Okay,
that's
so you guys
kind of
see
like, to this
you understand how I can get to that, that idea about him, though. I just didn't feel like there was enough there for me really to get on board with his character. Her, on the other hand, I liked her character. Maybe it's because of that backstory. I found her to be quirky. I found her to be sad. I found her to be almost brave in a way. I mean,
and
she,
desperate.
And
brave?
Desperate. Yeah, brave.
Brave how?
Well, let me get into this for a moment.
Let me just say that I completely disagree with you at this point.
When I say brave, because she was so trapped into that little ramshackle apartment with her mother, I thought...
Flat. That's a flat.
Okay, flat. Oh, God. Shut up, Michael.
Also known as an apartment.
Hey, you're not going to get me to call this a caravan. That's an RV, okay? It's an RV. Shut up.
Fine.
Okay, maybe brave is a bold word to use. What I'm saying is that I saw her, better word from you, desperate, but I also saw her as ready to, you know, I want to change my life. I want to get out of here. I want a reason to just reinvent myself.
Yeah.
Do something different.
Well, don't go kill
buy
people.
A pencil.
Okay, buy a giant pencil.
Let
so,
my hair down.
So when I say brave and then you say desperate, when I saw her pull out driveway, I saw her as I'm turning a page to my life. I'm coming back different, Mom. I'm coming back different. Mm. I want to see where that journey took her, okay? So, you know, we'll get into some scenes here in a second, but I like that about the film. I also like the way it looked. I thought it was actually shot pretty well.
It was.
Okay, and then these little chapters, these little scenes come along, some better than others, but I did like the scene where you start to see her turn in ways where she actually became a little evil at times. She enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Remember how much hell she gave that guy in the RV at the end when she's sitting next to him, say, he wanted me to poo in his hands and he wanted me to use it as lipstick. Remember that?
Yeah, but that's also Chris brought that out on her with Dookie.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Lord Duke.
There's a lot of Dookie talk in this film.
We call him Lord Duke.
So you had that element where you seen her go from, I'm coming back different. You see just how desperate she was to be anybody else to where she's willing to let this guy mold her into something else.
Right.
I picked up on that. I like that from her character. I also like the fact.
But it's also the realization of power, though.
That's it. I mean, there were some little things about this film that I kind of latched onto. Okay, it's a nice concept for this girl.
Yeah.
I didn't like
for
his character
too. I mean, it's,
I didn't like his character.
I thought
Max
he was a really
that.
Strong character. He was my favorite part of the movie.
Pretty bad acting though. I didn't think.
I didn't. I don't
I
think
thought,
so
I don't
at
think
all.
Think so.
Chris,
I
thought he was good.
I thought he was great.
Okay, well,
and I have to disagree with you on the Chris and Michael and Tina scene or whatever the guy's name was.
Martin.
The guy that made the Terrapin.
Martin.
Terrapin.
All right.
Martin.
sorry to interrupt you, Max.
Go ahead.
But that's basically a carbon copy of what happened with him in the restaurant. She was trying to recreate that. She was taking all of her cues from him. Yeah. So he made out with the girl in the restaurant. She's like, I'm going to make out with this dude, and then we're going to kill him. And
that's the exact same thing I thought.
Did you see that? I thought he gave her a gift with that. He's like, you know what? I'm going to set this whole stage up for you to where you can come on board with me and my killing and weapon. He kind of delivered that bride to her by giving her a reason to go on out and kill her.
In both instances, he got upset. When she did what she did. Yeah. He was like, this person did not deserve that, and this person didn't deserve that. She was doing it just at random. Just find somebody, a victim that she could take.
Especially the guy on the street. Remember when she's just like, pull over. Oh, okay. There she takes the guy out of the street.
I actually was like, oh.
Hey, jogger.
So my whole point, I'll finish this thing up here.
No, hang on. I want to tag on to what Max was saying, that he was pissed off at her because she was just doing random acts.
That's right.
And what he considered him doing were natural acts.
I saw these two dancing together across the highway, wherever they were at, in their little RV. They're kind of doing this little psychotic dance, this little mental warfare with each other.
Antagonizing each other.
And I found myself kind of invested in that. I kind of like to see where it went from scene to scene, and for the most part, it delivered. I'm going to give it a 7 because I didn't think that it went far enough. I thought it could have been a little bit more hatched out as far as his backstory. Mm-hmm. I want it to be a little bit more either one way or another. Give me a reason to really hate these people or a reason to really root for these people. That's why I gave it a 7. That's it, man. There you go.
I do want to go back to what I was talking to him. Max kind of brought up a little bit about the always had this in her, and this kind of brought it up, and this is how the movie was always going to end for her.
Yeah,
always.
I think
the second that they got in the car, this is how this movie was going to end to me. That's how I think, and you can trace it back to the pencil museum. She obviously buys the big pencil. Goes and sits in a theater and then makes her alibi call to her mom. Mm-hmm.
I like that scene, by the way.
I think that was almost a confession to her mom.
No, that's an alibi. That's her talking to her mom saying, oh, he's made me do this. That's an alibi.
She was breaking down.
I don't think so.
She wanted out of that relationship.
She didn't.
No, she didn't. I think she enjoyed that relationship more than she has enjoyed anything in her life.
Well, that's the only thing she had in her life at that point.
But that's beside the point.
No, that phone call to me, and I'm not going to stray from this, was strictly an alibi. So that if she did get caught, and if they did get traced back to them, that she could pin it on this bad, horrible man that killed people in his past, and he was making me do these horrible things that I didn't want to do. He made me do things I didn't want to do.
I think we should stop right
here. Sex things?
She said something about the toes. I missed that, actually. What did she say? He did something with your toes?
All I remember is like, he didn't want you to do number 2.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what that is? That what he said?
He didn't want you to go number 2.
Jeez, man. What a scatological
thing. But no, he's right. Because that's the first thing the mom thought was he didn't make you do sex things. He says, no, well, yeah, some of that.
You know what we should do? We should stop right here and listen to the clip.
Mom. Is that you, Tina? Mom. Has it gone wrong?
No. Yes. Yeah, a bit. Sort of.
Shall I come? No, I can't. I'm too ill.
I don't know what he wants.
Oh, they're all the same. Whatever you give him, he wants the opposite.
I've done things.
Oh, Tina, what? What have you done, love? Sex things.
And other stuff. Because I thought that was what he wanted to see me do, you know. But I'm not sure.
You didn't let him see you do number 2s, did you, Tina?
Never.
Mystery, Tina, is a woman's sanctuary.
Bye now, because I've got stuff to do.
Mom.
Okay, so there it is.
Now you know what we're talking about.
Now you have an idea what we're talking about. Whoever listens, you can decide what that does for you right there.
That was the clip of her making the alibi phone call, which
exactly
I agree
right.
with Matt on.
Talk about that scene. You guys are kind of arguing whether or not it's an alibi phone call, it's a confessional phone call. What is it?
I'm with Matt. I think it's a total setup for what, and I don't want to spoil anything, but I think it's a total setup for what happens at the end of the movie.
Exactly what I thought.
And for what happened previous to that.
Exactly what I thought.
No.
She's looking for a way out. Absolutely.
She definitely is looking for a way
by
out.
By calling her mom?
Yes.
No. What is her mom going to say? It's like, my daughter wasn't involved in anything. She called me and told me so.
Listen,
that's not a legitimate alibi.
But they'll have a time that phone call was made.
What does that matter?
Even if it wasn't, she's still trying to justify a way out in her mind.
I get that. Okay. I think if anything, that's a realization of what she's into, that maybe something is not right.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
What
well,
was
let's...
she? No. What was she doing right before that scene where she called her mom? She was writing a pretty much a Dear John letter.
With a giant
to,
I don't think so.
With a giant pencil. She was like, Dear Chris, you know,
I just want to tell you what I'm feeling, and that's as far as she got. That's not a Dear John letter.
I think she wanted out at that point.
No,
in time.
She does.
No,
not.
She doesn't want out.
She does not.
No,
want out.
She wants out. In.
Look, had she killed Guy in the little pod yet at that point?
No.
She didn't.
You can trace her psychotic tendencies back to when he ran the guy that dropped the litter, and she picked up the memento and put it on the dash. Number one, right off the bat, psychotic tendencies. And at that point, she thought this may or may not have been an accident, but either way, she loved it. She loved what had just happened.
Hey, Hoodie. What was your favorite kill in this scene?
Favorite kill in this movie?
Yeah. When you think about the deaths, the kills. Which one stood out?
The runner. The runner is the one that actually made me go, oh.
What about you, Max?
I'm with him. That was totally, and that I think that's the point of the movie where you realize, okay, she's into this.
Yeah.
Because that guy was doing nothing.
Right.
Nothing.
It's our first together.
Yeah. She said that. Oh, it's our first kill together.
No.
And that guy had done nothing. And he got ticked off. He's like, what'd you kill that dude for?
Did you think they were almost too incredulous? I mean, they were so incredulous and contemptful, you know?
Well, but that was the funniest. Like, he couldn't get back into the RV. It's like, you're a witch.
Right. That's what made him redundant. He thought that he was doing something special, and then she kind of came in and started doing the same thing.
That's a good point. Because
and that didn't make it as special for him anymore.
Don't
that's,
you think?
That's why he was
redundant. I agree with what you're saying, Matt, but I think, in his mind, he was justified in killing these people.
No, and I agree with that.
And in his mind, when she did it, so the people
she was
doing, there was no justification for it, and therefore he thought it was a waste.
Well, let me tell you what her whole rationale was.
And it was a useless act of art.
Everything about her was about her mother. It came back to her. I'm angry at my mom.
I'm very
don't
Freudian.
Send me, don't send me back to my mom. I hate you, mom. Look what you're doing.
That's
everything.
What I was saying at the beginning.
And that's why the beginning really was a good beginning for this film. It really set that up. Yeah.
Along the lines of what Matt was saying, who thought at the beginning when she said, I'll be back, mom, I'll be back? Right there.
He said out loud, no.
No,
I did too.
She's not going back.
I did too. They were going off into the abyss, and I liked it. I liked that part. I want to see what the abyss was at that point.
Did anybody think she was going to be back?
I did not.
I didn't think one way or the other.
I was really hoping to see this mother like tumble down the stairs and die like the dog did, which was
impaled.
Instead, she just laid at the bottom of the stairs and acted like she fell.
That was a great scene.
And pressed her emergency button.
I thought that scene was odd to me. What was that scene trying to say? Was this how sick this woman was?
She was a controlling woman.
She wanted to see what it felt like to be just down at the stairs with no one caring. She liked to feel that narcissism kind of thing. And
she was controlling. She just wanted everybody to feel sorry for her and do everything for her.
Speaking of feeling sorry for things, Adam, did you feel sorry for the dog when it finally revealed what happened to the dog? I thought that was dumb.
Talk about that.
Poppy or Banjo?
Either Poppy. Way. Are you still in there, Banjo? Yeah.
When the scene where they flash back and show what
the
actually happened, why she was quote-unquote a murderer.
Yeah.
With the Poppy and the dog.
Those
that was
giant...
I was not expecting that.
I thought that was dumb. What did you think?
I liked it.
I saw that comment.
Final scene. You know what I like when I think back about this movie, I think of what scene sticks out to me?
Not
it's
that
It's always going to be that final scene. To see that guy squirm, trapped in that RV, he's across the table, and she's just scooting closer and closer and closer to him. And that vampire face comes in. She's got that guy so wound up. You know what I'm talking about? The guy that ends
Martin.
Up in the... I like that scene. I was squirming for the guy, too. Did you like that scene at all?
I did. But it's kind of transparent, though. You could tell the setup. You could tell what she was trying to do.
Yeah.
She was trying to invoke the power that Chris had given her earlier.
That's
with
what I was
thinking, the Lord Duke. And then when he came in, it didn't work. You know, she tried to say it, and it's like, well, I understand his...
Push that dude off the cliff in his little pod.
Not even
spoiler,
caring,
spoiler.
Just walks out there and just... Boom.
That was crazy.
I kind of have a little theory thing about this.
What
about
is it?
Martin was kind of upset about Martin. Do you notice at one point he's just walking in the middle of all these campers with nothing but his underwear on?
Who, Martin?
He's taking a shower.
Oh, Chris, yeah.
He's running to the shower to take one real quick, and next scene you see is Martin cuddled with a dog in the carapod. I think something happened between these two guys.
Wait a second.
Oh, come on.
I'm telling
I'm
you right
now.
Can I back him up for one second? I thought, did they do something?
You guys are repressed homosexuals.
They're not
repressed.
What's repressed about it?
They spent this whole day together. They were,
what's repressed?
Quote unquote, become best friends all of a sudden, playing these little games.
Did you not pick up on that? I picked up on that.
I know.
It didn't even cross my mind.
It did cross my mind. I saw that. I thought, well.
I mean, he was running to the shower.
Why would they
just randomly show him running to the shower?
Because it was cold.
And because he was walking through the kids that he hated.
You're right.
Yeah.
And they were all laughing at
him.
And he was all huffy and puffy chest.
In the end, I digested it and thought, okay, it probably didn't happen. But for a split second, I thought, okay, what happened? You know, did they have a Brokeback moment?
I did not pick up on that.
Whatever. Hey, let's talk about the final scene. Did you? the thing ends with a thud. Can I actually say? Literally, it ends with a thud.
Spoiler alert.
Spoilers, whatever. The thing does end with a boom, and that is the kind of the way it closes out in a very dramatic fashion. Did you see that coming?
I did not.
I totally saw that coming.
And any other ending would have been unsatisfying.
I didn't necessarily know that they were going to crawl up the top of this thing and do this. But when they did, I knew.
In the journal.
I knew she'd be standing there and he'd be dead. I knew that's what was going
to
happen.
She does foreshadow this, saying how romantic it would be to die together. That puts a seed in his head. So he's like, oh, she's into this. Yep. I'm not, but I love her.
I didn't buy him wanting to. I bought her. He wouldn't really do this. I didn't feel he would really do this.
Nope. Okay, I was going to say what you said about Chris was disgusted with the world and wasn't afraid to leave it. I was sort of thinking the opposite. I was thinking he was thinking this world needs me to do the stuff I'm doing because there's nobody else doing it.
It's like a cleaner.
If you go through the natural order of things.
Yeah.
For some reason, I didn't buy that he would actually jump off that.
I didn't either.
But that's what I'm saying. She planted the seed to say that this is what true love is if we die together. And that is her last murder. Him jumping off, she can now go to the police and say, "Oh my God, I was with this guy.
I was kidnapped by this guy.
He made me do all these horrible things."
I think so too.
I think she was into both of them dying at the very end until he insulted her right at the end. She wanted to kill. She was like, "Oh yeah, he insulted me."
Does she go back and let him kill him?
So.
No,
that's not it at all. He pegged it earlier.
I don't think she was a witch. I don't think she had any intention of jumping off.
She was a witch.
Hey, does she go back and kill the mother?
It was a season of the witch.
She wanted to kill him.
Does she go back and kill the mother? Producer?
No, she goes back to her life and lives normally. And it's like, oh, I'm a victim.
Absolutely not. She goes back and she murders her mother.
Watch the scene.
Stop pointing at me, sir.
Sorry. Watch that scene again.
Spoiler alert: she murders her mother.
No. Watch the scene again and see what her facial reaction is when he says, "Oh, I'm sorry for insulting you," and she's like, "Oh yeah, he did do this to me." I think they were going to. She was going to let them jump.
No, because the last time he insulted her and walked off, she freaked out and said, "I thought you were never coming back." So that's kind of the relationship that she had with him and wanted with him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then that plays into the antagonistic part of it, where they were kind of poking at each other, like, "I did this to you." Mm-hmm. Well, I did this to you. Well, I did this to you. Nobody can see me.
It was a weird relationship. I thought
really
it
weird. Yeah, That's where we're going. Weird. All right.
What's wrong with weird?
I think it's a little. I've had weird relationships, but I'm not on par with this.
I had a weird breakfast.
Sociopathic.
Can I say something? That was kind of a stupid thing to say when in a weird relationship. It was a fun. I had fun watching.
Look at Adam getting all deep into this.
I can talk, right? I can keep going.
Uh-oh.
Whoa.
We're gonna wrap this up.
You're right. This was. I love this movie.
Hey, listen, let's wrap this thing up, guys. We got a top three to get to. Hey, let's do this, though. Let's end it with this concept right here. Finish this sentence. Let's go around the table and do this. Adam, you should watch the 2013 film.
This is coming.
On the fly, buddy. I'm hosting on the fly. You should watch Sightseers if what? Savage. 2013, Sightseers. You should watch this film if blank.
If you respect Adam Baum's opinion.
You won't be watching this movie very often.
Watch it repeatedly.
If he's gotten three people to watch this.
Max.
And there's four of us at the table.
Max Jetlag Johnson. You should watch the film if blank.
If you're in the mood for a good black comedy and War of the Roses or Throw Mama for the Train or After Hours are not available.
Ooh, Throw Mama from the Train. This is a good reference to Throw Mama from the Train.
That's kind of a road trip, too.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a good black comedy.
Yeah, okay.
That's a real black comedy.
Yeah, those are three great black comedies you should watch before you watch this.
There you go. That's the 2013 film Sightseers.
It's not bad for an Adam Bomb movie.
Come on. Is this bad for an Adam Bomb film?
No.
Adam, this is an incredibly good score.
It really is. It was a good movie.
Congratulations, Adam. You have not picked a total turd.
I actually think a 34 is as high as he ever made in high school.
Wait.
This is his There Will Be Blood. All right, top three. This did inspire a top three. That top three is Road Trips Gone Wrong. Ooh. And we always start with the man who queued up the film. Adam, the Bomb producer, number three, what is it?
Imagine you're on a road trip with your family. Next thing you know, you're attacked by two criminals. Taken to a bar.
Just say the movie.
And attacked by vampires. From Dust Till Dawn.
That's not a road trip movie.
That's kind of a road trip. They're on a road trip. They never made it to the destination.
In the first five minutes.
I'm with you.
The movie's at the bar. The movie exists at the bar.
I get you.
Halfway through the movie.
I'm going to have to go Easy Rider, number three.
Oh, that was mine.
God, that's a good choice, though.
Easy Rider. Ended in total tragedy.
It did. A total, complete tragedy. Hoodie, the patron saint of quality outerwear.
And I've got a whole bunch of them here. If you
We're going to get to your honorable mentions. I'm going to make room for that. Hoodie, what do you got for number three?
I got Darjeeling Limited.
I hated that film.
Yeah, well, I didn't really dig it, but it is a Wes Anderson.
Hard stuff. What do you got? Cue up your number three for me, man. What do you got?
I'm going to go the most obvious. I got to go California.
That was bannered around on Twitter a lot, too. California. With a K, man. California.
California with a K.
That's not the most obvious.
That's pretty obvious.
It's one of them.
Road Trip is the most obvious.
Yeah, Road Trip is the most obvious. It's actually named Road Trip.
It didn't go wrong because he got a lady at the end.
Let me tell you my number three is, because what you just said is exactly what my number three is. I'm going Sideways, okay? I love the film. I love the Road Trip. He came back exhausted, but just like a fine bottle of wine, he was a little richer, right? That was the whole concept of that.
You wrote that down, didn't you?
No. And that was a horrible movie.
Shut up!
It wasn't a horrible movie.
Let me tell you what I loved about that film. The whole thing of his best friend. Shut up.
That's the
knock it off. I'm
kidding.
Tell me. Everybody be quiet.
No. In that film, there's a great scene where he talks about this grape. This grape is this has thick skin. It's rich inside. It takes forever to come to life. He's given this girl this huge speech about this grape. He's talking about himself. At the end of the film, he realizes, I'm this grape. And then after he realizes, okay, I finally come of age, like this wine, I can go back and get my girl. There it is. You bored to death, Adam? Shut up.
Adam was so bored.
That was a horrible movie.
Okay, number...
And you have horrible taste, so...
Adam is the Boone's Farm of wine.
He's the Boone's Farm of film critics.
Number two, bomb.
Number two, bomb. Throw it. Drop it. What is it?
Hills Have Eyes.
He says Hills Have Eyes. What do you think?
Is that a road trip?
Yeah, they're on a road trip.
What are you talking about?
Point in case. Which version?
Well, I like the remake better than the original, so I'm going to go with that
one. Okay,
me too. Number two.
Number two.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Gumbo, number two. What you got there, Jim?
I'm going to have to go Grapes of Wrath.
What? Ooh.
Tragic, dude, terrible ending to a road trip.
That was a Dust Bowl days, man. He's wagging and training around the West.
Okay, does that make it happy?
Absolutely. No. That's a great film. It's a great choice.
That's terrible what happened in that movie. It was awful.
It was a fantastic film, but yeah, it was a terrible tragedy. Number two, Matt.
But I hate to follow Max because he's being all, you know.
Yeah.
Good movies.
I just talked about Sideways and Grapes. What are you talking about?
No, but
I'm talking about Dutch. Number two.
Fantastic.
Dutch. The Ed O'Neill movie?
That's the one.
That's a fun movie. Do you like that film?
I loved it.
Oh, I wish y'all could have seen the Max's face on that.
You know what I think? I think we may need to cue that up. It's on Netflix.
Is it really? I had no idea.
Yeah.
When he shoots off the fireworks and he's dancing around and catches a cut on fire, amazing.
I love Ed O'Neill.
Can we go back to Grapes of Wrath and talk about that for a minute?
Hey, you know what? We just had tie-in. You talked about Grapes of Wrath. I talked about grapes.
Come on. The Grapes of Wrath, directed by John Ford, starring... You got me all screwed up now. You got Dutch on my head.
Bob Beck is an awesome author, right. By the way.
Number two.
Number two from...
Thelma and Louise.
Yeah, of course.
It drives off the cliff. Yeah, that's the bad ending.
Spoiler alert.
You know what? Did we not talk about this earlier today?
Yeah, we did.
I want to drive my golf cart off a dock well.
Right.
Just like Thelma and Louise.
Thelma and Louise. It's a bad road trip.
Don't mix work with pleasure. Leave that conversation right where it's at. Number two from me. Okay, I think this is a road. Why does a road trip have to be in a car?
I already said
it. It's a road trip. It has to be on a road.
It has to be in some sort of vehicle. It cannot be on feet.
It can be in a train, a plane, or an automobile.
Because you're going to say the damn Lord of the Rings or some horse crap.
I'm not changing my number two because, you know, there is
What's your number two, sir?
There's a shopping cart involved, and that's the road.
They're
making a trip. It's called the freaking road. They're going on a road trip from one end of the country to the other, pushing
I'll buy
a
car.
Please give this to me.
It's not really a road trip. That's how they live.
Kid,
that's
we're taking a
their
trip.
Life.
No, that's a trip
it's
to the
called
coast.
Homelessness.
Hey, what can we do? Sit here or walk? Let's walk.
Hey, look, there's a shopping cart.
That's a trip. You don't tell me they were taking a trip?
No, where were they taking a trip? That was their life.
They were going specifically to the coast.
Wait, how?
Specifically. They weren't wandering.
I got you.
Next question.
Go ahead, number one, Adam.
Bad pick.
No, the ultimate road trip of all times gone wrong. Vacation.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
Well, that is the ultimate.
Well, it's the ultimate one. You can't beat it.
I think I can.
I'm glad somebody
I think
said
I can.
It.
You really can't beat it. I mean, that is the gold standard of bad road trips.
You haven't seen my number one.
Okay. Reveal
your
it.
Number
reveal
one,
it.
Gumbo?
My number one, The Wages of Fear.
Oh, jeez.
Like you said, I haven't obscure, seen
this. Have you seen this
movie? I have watched not some seen real it. Movies,
Of course
Max.
We have not.
Real movies. This is a classic 1953 French
Max
film.
Max takes his movies very seriously. Do not,
I got that.
Do not part ways with Max on film.
French film.
Yeah. You know what it's about?
A road trip?
It's a road trip. These guys,
gone wrong?
They're building, wrong? They're building a road in France, and they hire these guys to drive a truck full of nitroglycerin across the bumpiest road in the world. And he makes it. And then what happens at the end is like he made it and then that happened. It's the most tragic thing ever. It is the greatest, most tragic road trip ever. You guys are morons. I win.
Shut up. He just dropped his pen, ladies and gentlemen.
I dropped my pen.
He did a pen.
Anyone
drop.
Who knows anything about movies will agree with me because Wages of Fear is the greatest road trip ever. Made.
Give us some levity. Get us back down to earth, Tony. What's
all
your
right,
number
I'm,
one?
The greatest road trip movie is Trains, Planes, and Automobiles.
It's a great one.
That's
it's pretty good.
That is the road trip.
What do you got for number one there, Savage?
Well, I'm taking a cue from you, Mike. It's I don't think it has to be necessarily a specific road, like asphalt road, but I do think it needs to be a traveling thing from one point to the next. And the ultimate bad road trip where things go horribly, horribly bad is Titanic.
That is not a,
that's not a road trip.
It's certainly a road trip.
Nope. There's not even a road.
There is a road across the ocean.
An ice road?
And it goes completely wrong.
I'm trying to get
that's
on board.
That's a jet stream.
I'm trying to get on board.
No, it is. It's a travel thing. You know, it is absolute travel.
Just I understand his play on the concept. It's working for me. Give it to him.
Titanic.
I've got 40 better right there.
I don't think that. I think that's.
Road Warrior doesn't count, sir.
Stop talking.
That had the highest death count.
Listen, even if we do count that still has no place on this list.
Sure it does.
How about my number one?
Blade Runner Part 2.
Ooh, Lisa.
Where we find out what happened to Rick and Rachel.
My number one, just because this is not a good way you want to end the trip, guys. Come on, that's Deliverance. You don't want to end the trip.
That was on my list.
That's not a road trip. That's a water trip like the Titanic.
Exactly.
Nope. I know. I was kind of hesitant about it, but that's not a good way you want to end days for most people.
It's a road trip. They took a road trip down to this thing. To
back in 1700s.
Deliverance. I'm going to say that.
They took a road trip to the boat.
That's a camping trip.
All right, let's get into some of Max's honorable mentions. Then we're going to wrap this thing up. Do you have any honorable mentions there, Max?
I got several. I'll go through them quick. God Bless America, Vanishing Point, Duel, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Jeepers Creepers, Wrong Turn, Dirty Mary, Crazy Larry, Bonnie and Clyde.
Dirty Mary.
Star Wars.
The Last Detail, The Road Warrior, and The Vanishing.
Joyride.
Oh, The Vanishing. Good call.
The Vanishing.
Good call
on the French version, not that piece of junk. American.
Hey, you know what, though?
I want to throw Tommy Boy in there.
Ooh, Tommy Boy is an excellent call.
Good one.
You can also do Black Sheep.
Number one.
I went out to Twitter and put this out there and proposed this question. Simone MM said her first reaction, Sightseers. Can you believe that?
I like her.
Along with Thelma Louise.
That's the movie we're doing.
Dalton Brown at Cakeless Roses. College Road Trip and RV. Wiltz Movie Fan at Wiltz Movie Fan said Joyride, RV, Duel, 1971. I bet
you've
seen that.
Duel was awesome.
Dan at Movie Revolt says Vacation, Planes, Trains, Automobiles. Maybe Duel and Deliverance? Maybe. Check this out. Kelly O'Neill at Kelly U. Ain says Stranger Than Paradise. Don't know if it's totally gone wrong, but there's definitely something crazy going on. You ever heard of this film, Stranger Than Paradise?
I've heard of it. Never
heard of
it.
Okay. Ben Taylorson says California with a K. David Schultz at Pirate Falcon. Wrong Turn. There you go. Anyways, that's going to wrap up this episode, guys. This was... What episode was it?
Sightseers.
27. Sightseers. Directed by, does it matter?
Ben Wheatley.
2013. It's on Netflix if you guys want to check it out. And you can go to thequefilmcast.net. Who you agree with the most, let us know. Who you disagree with the most, just go ahead and tell James all about it.
Right.
Next week is, it's a hard sub savage.
It is a hard sub savage.
I'm curious. Let me tell you why. Because he's put some drama in this one. I don't know what it's going to be. I'll tell you when I get there.
Two weeks. Adam in the Savage over here.
You find that to be the case?
That's a tough 2 weeks for me.
All right, Savage. Reveal. Cue up a film for us for next week, episode 28. What is it going to be, sir?
Well, I've developed a director crush for Nicholas Winding Refn, and he's got a lot of good stuff. We're going to go with Bronson.
Good pick. I haven't seen this film. I keep hearing about it, so I'm giddy. Yep. Max, do you approve of this selection? Are you excited to talk about this film? Adam, have you seen this film?
Nope. It's been in my queue, though.
It's been in my queue, too. I love this tie into our
show. Is this about the guy with the mustache who did that thing that time?
Yeah, that's him.
All right.
Guy with the mustache who did that thing
Death
one
wish.
Time?
Yeah, that's
He's
right.
He's the craziest, most violent English prisoner ever.
Ooh, I'm excited about this.
He's nuts.
Savage. So it's Savage and Gumbo here. Regardless, I think we need to take a road trip. I think it's time. This film inspired me to get us out on the road.
I don't want
to
take a road trip after this movie.
You don't think so?
We already took a road trip.
They go wrong.
It's called Sightseers.
Whatever, man. But listen, next week's episode 28, that is a James Hard Sub Savage selection, and it is the Nicholas Winding Refn film, Bronson. Looking forward to that, man. So that's it, guys. You want to add?
Yeah, I was like... This is the movie why Tom Hardy got cast Batman. As Bane
or Batman.
And Batman.
Mm. Yeah. Curious. I stroke my imaginary beard.
I know some guy that can do a really good impression of that.
Oh, you're talking about Bane. Oh, I think next week is episode 28 as we queue up the Nicholas Winding Refn film, Bronson.
My blood is cold.
All right, that's it. From all of us here at The Queue, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week as we chat up the film Bronson. But until then, keep your head down, keep your eyes in the sockets. Good night.